Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 2 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 18, 11 through 21. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And if you're enjoying this podcast, but you'd like a more in-person study, then check out the 10-Week Bible YouTube channel. The same podcasts are over there with the Bible texts and maps and other helpful videos that I've made along the way. Links are in the description and the show notes. With that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's read. Jump into God's word. We're reading today from the NIV. This is Judges 18, starting in verse 11. Then 600 men of the Danites, armed for battle, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol. On their way, they set up camp near Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. This is why the place is called Kiriath-Jearim, is called Mahanedan to this day. You like the struggling with the pronunciation there. Verse 13, from there they went on to the hill country of Ephraim and came to Micah's house. So here we understand that, yes, they are coming up through Judah. They're in the south. They're living amongst the people of Judah. And Kiriath-Jearim is right there on the border between Judah and Benjamin. Verse 14, then the five men who had spied out the land of Laish said to their fellow Danites, do you know that one of these houses has an ephod, some household gods, and an image overlaid with silver? Now you know what to do. So they turned in there and went to the house of the young Levite at Micah's place and greeted him. The 600 Danites, armed for battle, stood at the entrance of the gate. It's very clear what they're doing here. They're going in to take their stuff, and they want the Levite. They want to take the Levite, they want the ephod, and they want the idol. And they're there to take it. And keep in mind, again, we started this chapter out that in those days, Israel had no king. People just did whatever they wanted to, basically. That's how we're starting this, and that's where we're at right now. And that doesn't mean that everything that's going on in here is good. Yes, the Lord is going to give them this land they're going to, but even in doing that, they're not, I'm going to make a statement here that I rarely make. I rarely comment this way on scripture, but to me, it looks like the Danites are behaving quite cowardly the way that they're going to go about this. And it's obvious here that they're not, they don't have the heart of the Lord, the interest of the Lord in mind here, because what they're going to do is they're going to steal something from an individual person, another person of another tribe in Israel on their way to their own conquest. And so nothing about this is right. Nothing about this is good. They've got the army, and so they're just going to muscle from Israelites what they want to take. Now, maybe they understood that, hey, this guy doesn't belong here in the first place, and so we're going to take what we want and get away with it anyway, because he shouldn't have the Levite. He shouldn't have the idol, but they shouldn't either. They shouldn't be taking this. This isn't theirs to take, right or wrong. This is not for them to decide. This is not for them to do. All right, continuing on. Verse 17, the five men who had spied out the land went inside and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, while the priests and the 600 men, armed men, stood at the entrance of the gate. When the five men went into Micah's house and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, the priest said to them, what are you doing? So again, you know, the priest is getting paid by Micah. So here he sees these guys coming in. He's like, hey, really, I serve as priest before this idol and this ephod. You take this and I may be out of a livelihood. What are you doing? You can't do this, guys. He's actually, you know, appealing to them. The guy who has been an individual priest for an individual person, worshiping at a shrine built for a pseudo idol and a definite idol. This guy now has a conscience and he's like, no, you can't be doing this. You can't be taking Micah's stuff. This is not cool. His tone's going to change real fast, again, because there's 600 armed men ready for battle right there in front of him. And he's going to look around and say, okay, he's going to take stock of the moment here and realize what's going on. And they're going to make a very convincing argument here in verse 19. They answered him, "Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priests rather than just one man's household?" The priest was very pleased. He took the ephod and the household gods and the idol and went along with the people. Putting their little children, their livestock, and their possessions in front of them, they turned away and left. And here is just several problems. Number one, I mean, he knows they're going to take the stuff anyway, right? The priest knows that the Danites are going to take the idol and the ephod and all that kind of stuff anyway. But they make this compelling argument. Hey, wouldn't it be better? They're saying, for you, scratch, scratch, money, money. Isn't it going to be better for you to be the priest to a whole tribe in Israel rather than just one guy? Now, keep in mind where they are. They've come from Judah. They've come about halfway up the land of Israel. They're in Ephraim, which is kind of northish, centralish Israel on the west side of the Jordan River. And they're on their way up north of the Sea of Galilee. And so, you know, they've stopped over here for the night or whatever, and they're here to steal all this stuff. But they intentionally stopped here because they intentionally came here to take this priest and these idols with them. And so after they make this very compelling argument at the end of a spear, at the end of a blade, he's like, okay, I like this. I'll take that deal. And so the priest who started out our story with itchy feet is going to take the next best offer that comes along, and he goes with the Danites and he helps them steal. He actually does the theft himself. He takes the ephod and the idol, and he goes. Now, the confrontation is going to happen next time, but what I find tragic about this is it says that the Danites put the women and children in front of them on their way. This is, I believe, like I said a second ago, I think this is cowardly. And I don't like to comment on scripture all that often when I see something like this, because it's really challenging. I mean, you can find a lot of different commentaries that will say a lot of different things about a lot of different passages in scripture. And sometimes it's well-founded, sometimes there's historical evidence for things, and sometimes it's just their opinions. And I want to be very clear, this is just my opinion. But when you look at this, it looks like what they're doing is, again, they found a people up in the north part of the land of Canaan where they're going to go take over. They found a people that are living at peace and prosperity and unsuspecting. They don't suspect that a fight is coming their way. So what do? They put their women and their children in front of them to throw off the scent. Because if you're the watchman on the wall, remember there's only five of these guys that spied it out. So they don't know that an army's coming yet. They don't know that these five guys were spies looking for a place to settle. They haven't seen the force that's coming. And so the first thing that they're going to see on the walls in this northern city that's about to be taken over, they're going to see the women and children coming before the men. This is going to be a sign of, hey, we're just traveling. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're refugees on our way somewhere else. No threat here. That's why our women and children are in front. So in a way, they're using them to throw off the scent, but they're also kind of human shields. Again, we started out this passage. There was no king in Israel, and everyone just kind of did what they want. I think this is cowardly. This is, the Lord is going to give these people victory. They don't need to be behaving like this. They don't need to be acting like this. This is a sign of things to come. Not only, are they acting cowardly like this, they're taking idols. None of this is good. None of this is right. This is just bad on so many levels. The Lord will fight for them. He's fought with the Israelites all throughout the land of Israel so far. They don't need to do things like this. And how often is that the case for us? Like Abraham, like the Lord has given us that promise, but we can't see how it's going to work. So we help God out and we take on Hagar and we have the Ishmael. How often do we do things like this where we're not sure if we fully trust God to do the things that he's promised to do. So we kind of help him out a little bit and we compromise a little bit here and there. And we put those women and children first. We use that human shield. We make those not so good compromises. We steal the idols. We don't need to do it. We don't need to do it. The Lord is on our side. He will fight with us. He will fight for us, just like he would have for the Danites. They don't need to be muscling around, bullying around other people in the tribes of Israel. None of this is right. The Lord is still going to be gracious to the Danites, but it didn't have to happen this way. And for us, I mean, that is the story of so many of the stories in the Judges. I mean, we just finished with Samson. It didn't have to be the way that it was. For us, there's so many times where it doesn't have to go the way that it does. And I fully believe that the Lord would rather have us as fully committed on his side. If we want to submit ourselves to him, for him to use as he would, that's so much better than the Lord having to use us in spite of ourselves. But it's one of the reasons also why Israel needed a king and why the kingdom of God was always in the plan. It was never in the plans for the Israelites or for us at any point to just have these judges and us just kind of do whatever we felt was right and necessary. That was never the plan. The plan was always to establish a kingdom. Because on the throne of that kingdom, one day will sit Jesus, the Messiah, forever. That was always the plan. And now our author is showing us the path and the progression toward that as these people fall and wander farther and farther away. Well, that's all we have for today. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And if you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe and leave a comment so that you can stay up to date with the daily podcast. Again, for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.